Welcome to Coming Up for Air, the Allies in Recovery podcast, with hosts Laurie McDougall, Kayla Solomon, and Dominique Simone Levine.
So we're back here on Coming Up for Air, and today's topic is ending the jumping from one fire to another fire before you can even clean the ashes up from the previous fire. How do we give people a better understanding of how to utilize CRAFT and what we have to offer on the Allies in Recovery website? So, Dominique, do you want to get us started on that?
Sure. I think when somebody first joins Allies in Recovery and starts to look at the material, it's not apparent that it's an overall framework in which you're going to put yourself into this framework and then you're going to apply it to your own situation. And so what happens instead is, and what has happened probably in your history, I know as well as mine, you just go from the crisis to the next crisis to the next crisis. You get help for the crisis goes away, and you have some relief and some peace maybe for a little while until the next thing pops up. With CRAFT, we actually teach you a way of pausing. And we're going to talk about pausing a lot this morning, because the first pause is to ask yourself, what's the plan when you see use in your loved one? What's the plan when you don't see use in your loved one? Can you tell when they are using in the moment? Can you tell when they're not using? What is the pattern of a use cycle for them? Is it Friday night? Are they typically going to drink till Sunday? So you need to start with CRAFT by not jumping into the crises so much, though they will be happening for you, but deciding what the patterns are, what you're seeing, and learning from CRAFT how to step in and to do so in a way that isn't reactive, but is responsive. You know what you're seeing, and you're going to respond in a way that you have planned out. And that really reduces the fear, the worry, the agitation, the conflict, the anger, all of that, because you are calmer. You are seeing something that you expect to see now. You understand 2 hours late, no phone call, payday. This is not good. I'm preparing for my wife to come home having been by the bar on her way home from work. I'm expecting that. What am I going to do? You're expecting it. And that's what CRAFT teaches you. It teaches you what to expect, how to see what you're seeing, how to make a decision on how to respond, right? So there's a lot in that. And what we tend to get are, when families first join, this I got this problem. He's spending his entire paycheck on drugs, and then I'm paying for his place to rent, and I'm stuck. That's something that might be happening, but there's a lot to unpack in that. And there are these little incremental ways, little quiet communication ways, quiet bite your tongue ways of being that can create for you a position of influence and make you feel a little bit empowered about your ability to respond to this in a more calm way.
Yeah, I just had this thought when you were talking about that we're talking about emergencies and crisis when we have loved ones that are using substances or behaving badly, we'll say. And what happens is that I think a lot of us have this impulse. It's kind of like watching somebody drown and you jump into the water to go save them. But what we're talking about is the difference between somebody who doesn't know how to swim, jumping in to save them, and you becoming somebody who's actually knowledgeable and has skills and has kind of this framework to work into. So when you jump in, you're not going to drown with them. And I feel like people just react and jump and jump. And what we're asking you to do with Allies and with CRAFT is to step back and really take some time to learn a set of tools, learn a different way of thinking about it, get support for making changes in yourself so that these crises are not just about you doing this impulsive reaction or keep doing the same thing over and over again that don't work. It's about coming up with a new set of tools so that you're more effective.
So I come at this from my teaching experience, and having been a former teacher, the one thing that I learned is that it's wonderful as a teacher for me to be able to tell my students what to do. So, and I was a former math teacher, and yes, I could stand next to my students and go, okay, the next step is this. And then the next step is this. And then I want you to do this. Versus I want you to practice it. And I strongly believe the more a person, and this is true of young people as well as older people, if you experience it and you start to kind of experiment with it with yourself, it becomes almost like a part of you. There's nothing better than actually teaching someone else for learning. Because when you teach yourself so that you can teach others, you learn about where all the little idiosyncrasies are in the problem or the skills or how it can go off the rails. And so learning so that you can teach others, I think, is one of the best ways to actually learn something and learn it deeply. But the second best way is to jump in yourself and to start really learning the skills and practicing and learning another skill and practicing the old skills and then practicing the old skills. And it's all about, you're going to learn a skill, you're going to practice it. It might not go as expected, but you're going to try and adjust. And so what I'm seeing some of the time on the website is just kind of what Kayla was talking about, is this people feel they're in a crisis and they don't feel they have enough time, right? They feel like they have to respond right now. And so just tell me. But actually holding space, just stopping and not responding, one, it's doing something different anyway. It's doing something you might not have done before in the past. But actually, something might be more chronic than crisis. It's just perceived as crisis. So just using the drowning analogy, you know, someone's jumped in the water and they're flailing around and you think they're drowning. You might really need to be able to say, just put your feet to the bottom of the sand and you'll see that you're not in water above your head. Just take a pause. Don't do anything right away. Don't jump in, because what you're experiencing may actually be chronic. And you actually do have the time to come up with a more well thought out plan. And remember that, and this is true of craft. Craft and Allies in Recovery is providing you a structure. It's giving you a big picture structure. And it's much better if you learn to become skilled with this structure and you get creative in your own situation than it is if I'm sitting back here, you're asking me questions or Dominique questions or Kayla questions, and we're telling you what to do and telling you what to do and telling you what to do. It really is about you becoming experienced, learning, trying, experimenting, and using this big structure that we have to help you. Everybody's quiet.
No, because I think that really says it really well. You know, my go-to is always parallel process, that if you're a loved one of somebody who's using substances, you need to be experiencing the same shift that you're wanting from them. Okay. The only difference is there's a better chance that you're going to start before they do. But we're asking you to work on yourself. We're asking you to change your behavior. We're asking you to learn and educate yourself about substances and choices and behaviors and strategies. We're asking you to educate yourself about looking at what patterns are. And by the way, what I'm describing at this moment is what I consider treatment. So if you engage with Allies and Craft, you're actually engaging in your own treatment process. So that's how I see it. It's just that you're doing it alone. You're doing it with your loved other, you know, family members that are trying to change. You could do it on our site. You're doing it with the groups that we provide. but you're learning a different way of being in the world, which is exactly, if you notice, what we're asking your family members to do who are using. You want them to change, but you have to start. If I say to somebody, okay, you need to change to be more helpful to your loved one, that's a terrible thing to say. What does that even mean? But we have steps to take. We have tools that you could use. We have support to give you, but you have to be doing all the work. Or as I like to say to people, we're really good at doing this. We're really good at this work, but you have to do all the work. This program works, but you have to change and do the work. And it's a step-by-step process.
Right. So the example, what we would be asking you to look at in the example of my wife is not home from work and it's Friday and it's payday. And it's like, my whole weekend is going to be ruined. She's going to come home. She's going to be drunk. We're going to, you know, I'm not going to be able to contain myself. I'm going to be mad. It's going to go into the weekend. 3 hours later, she shows up and you let her have it at the door like you usually do, stomping off into the kitchen, perhaps putting down some food that she didn't eat earlier, right? So that's a good medium-sized crisis. You don't know that she's coming home. She's not home yet. She could be anywhere. She could be dead. You've got the catastrophizing going on in your head. You know that she has always managed to come home, but this time may be different. So maybe you start with, I know this scenario. Kraft tells me to know this scenario. I've walked through this scenario with Kraft. I understand what it is. I'm going to give her 4 hours because there's no point catastrophizing at hour two. We will catastrophize at hour four. So we're going to stay calm and we're going to go, okay, so she's always come home. She'll come home again. What am I going to do when she comes through the door? How am I going to react to her? And you're gonna step it out in your head. You're gonna say, okay, I'm gonna say as little as possible because I always fly off the handle and I can't contain myself and we're in a fight before I realize it. So I'm just gonna say, hey, I'm so glad you're home safe. I was really worried. Talk to you tomorrow. And I'm just gonna leave her at the front door. Okay, so now I've made some huge changes. I haven't gotten her dinner on the table. I haven't argued with her. She's not turned around and gone back out because of a big fight that we're having. So already you've made a lot of changes in what you may have always perceived as a crisis, which Lori is calling chronic, and I'm calling like middle chronic. You know this situation well. All you have to do is take a look at it from the Kraft perspective. And there are things to say, there are things not to say, there are things to do, there are things not to do. And they're all based on what you perceive in this moment. Your loved one is come through the door high. I'm going to remove rewards. I'm not going to put dinner on the table. I'm not going to act like nothing's wrong. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm so glad you're home. You know, I'm not going to do any of that. I'm going to remove myself. I'm just going to say as little as possible and march myself back to bed. And I'm going to allow natural consequences. No dinner. I'm not going to wake her up in the morning if she's going to be late for something and too hungover. I can do that. I know I can do that because it's not something that's terribly important for both of us. It's just her. She's just going to miss some activity in the morning. So right there and then, you've made a ton of small changes based on these Kraft principles that we teach you. And you've averted what has been in the past a pattern that you both know, you both expect. It doesn't move the needle anywhere. You know this and it just goes round and round. So we're looking at, and it's hard for families to go, oh, I don't want to look at one situation. I want to talk about how they're going to lose their job. We're going to lose our mortgage. And no, no, no. You're going to deconstruct this one little pattern that happens around a use episode. And you're going to get much better at managing it. And when you know that you can manage it, you're going to get even better at managing it. So it brings down the blood pressure. It brings down the fear. It also improves your confidence that this is something that can shift and you are shifting it. And so what we have actually done here is Allies in Recovery has modified your behavior so that you turn around and now you're modifying the behavior of your loved one. She didn't go back out in the night angry and drank the rest of the night away. We didn't have an argument. She felt bad in the morning. There was no fight. It made her feel worse. So these are all good things that come from you having made these small changes and understanding that this is the work of craft. It's making these sort of small incremental changes that really make a difference in how well you can connect and stay calm and stay partnering with your loved one.
I often will tell family members to really start in module 4, which is the communication module. A lot of families are so focused on the negative that that's all it is, negative, negative, catastrophizing, awfulizing, negative. They're lying, they're doing this, they're doing that. And there's no positive at all. The relationship is just so broken. And so I often tell families, start in the communication module, start by turning to the positive. Remember that the communication module is actually all about building on your relationship with your loved one. You're going to start to listen. You're going to start to hear. You're going to start to notice positive things going on that you didn't notice before. And just looking for the positive, I mean, even if you go to module 5 and focus on rewarding, learning to identify those positive moments or the behavior or the characteristics that your loved one has that are positive and starting to focus on that and not focus on all the awful things that are happening, that alone can really start to change your attitude and can pay off in a big way. So I often tell families, start with module 4. One of the best things you can do is to learn how to communicate better with your loved one, which often means listening. And I know that's a hard one to understand, but also get into module 7 at the same time, which is learning how to manage your own challenging feelings and thoughts. So these thoughts of catastrophizing and awfulizing, if you can learn to manage those even just a little bit, does a lot. It does a whole lot because it can help to manage not only your feelings, but you can start to see and view your loved one differently in a more positive light, in a more empathetic and understanding light. And you start to see the human being and not so much of the illness. It's not so pervasive. And so kind of this combination of taking care of yourself and learning how to manage the difficult and challenging feelings and thoughts that you have, at the same time, building on your relationship with your loved one. You may already have a good relationship, but these communication skills will just build on that even more. So building on that relationship with them, learning how to manage your own challenging feelings, it's golden. It's golden. And I do have to say one thing, Kayla. You said, I know it's an awful thing to hear that changing your behavior helps you to be a helpful person. For me, when I first started craft, that was golden, because what you were telling me is there are things that I can do and changes that I can actively do to make things better in my situation. So keep telling me that.
I'm going to say it again.
Yeah, keep telling me.
So I call that the power position. If I am part of the problem, I am part of the solution. If you're the problem and I'm trying to change you and I'm waiting till you change, I just feel tortured. If I then acknowledge that I am part of this dynamic and part of this problem and I look at my part and shift it, then I am part of the solution and I take my power back. Because there's a tremendous amount of waiting and hoping when you're looking at other people. And this doesn't matter about whether they're using substances or not. This is just human nature. If you're in a waiting position, you are semi-tortured. The other thing I want to say is that when we talk about the way you think and how you perceive things, that is a very, very essential part of this process. Because Aaron Beck, who is one of the creators of cognitive behavioral therapy, the reason he started looking at it is his suspicion was, the whole thing was, if you're depressed, then you have depressing thoughts or negative thoughts. And he flipped it and he started to look at, maybe depression is actually caused by negative thinking. And so if you think about the power of that, that if you're looking at things as catastrophic or terrible or negative or that you're powerless, you are on a path to depression. Those thoughts create depression, not to mention anxiety. And so if you then flip it and you start working on how are you thinking? What am I thinking? What are my negative thoughts? What am I noticing? Then you actually are working on treating your own depression, treating your own anxiety, because that's one of the places that it starts. Okay. And I'm not talking about chemical depression and chemical anxiety. I'm talking about situational depression and anxiety. That's the place that you get to shift it. The situation could be god-awful, terrible, and you could still work with yourself not to go into the abyss of that. You could find positive things. And I am absolutely obsessed that no matter how bad things are, there's always some good things going on. And that's what you want to be looking for. That's what we're talking about with the noticing that we talk about, which is essential because rewards are part of the craft process. And if you can't notice positive behavior, even if it's tiny, you're not going to be able to do this. So what we're asking you to do is step back. This is where the pause comes in, because your central nervous system, if it's activated, you cannot find the good. That's not the frame that you could do it in. So you have to step back, self-soothe, take care of yourself, get some space. And then with the intention of finding good things and noticing good things, you will find them. As I said, I say to people all the time, it's like people have chronic pain. The illusion of chronic pain is that you're in pain every minute of every day. That is not true. If you step back, you will notice that even if you have chronic pain, there are going to be moments in your day where your pain goes down or it's gone for a moment. It could be a minute, it could be seconds. But the more you notice those things, the more you're allowing your central nervous system to actually calm down and soothe, which is part of a healing process. Because the thought, I am in bad shape all of the time, anytime you generalize, you're in catastrophizing.
And it feels that way.
Yeah.
You know, as a family member with experience with that, it feels that way. It feels like, oh my God, this is just the worst and I cannot see a way out of it. I also do think there is some level of, how do I describe this? I tend to be a very positive person. Like I think I have high dopamine levels. Like my baseline is probably above some normal range or something. So I can never stay down. So when I found craft, I was like over the moon happy, if that makes sense, because it brought this thing, this something into it that I could actively become a participant and do something about my situation.
Yeah, so what happens with the wife who comes home late, it's set up like another crisis, but actually what it is it's a craft opportunity because you managed it, she's home, you didn't fight, you went to bed, you can now sleep. In the morning, you would want to stay neutral and withdrawn a little bit because she's hungover, and we call that using. That's part of the period of use in this little pattern that we'd have you identify. She might feel embarrassed or some shame more than if you'd had your regular time of it the night before. And then maybe midday, she actually says something. She says, you know, I'm sorry. There's a coming forward by her instead of you pushing and saying, you did this, you did it again, you're never going to stop. Actually, my wife came towards me like midday and said something she doesn't usually say because you kind of put it at her feet. You gave her the responsibility for this episode. You're on the periphery, you're there, but you're not completely full in the way you would normally be on a Saturday after a Friday night like that. And so she actually came towards you a little bit and you said, hey, you know, I'm so glad we're talking about this. How about I make us your favorite pancakes? Okay, so now it's the afternoon, it's non-using time, it's withdrawal is over, you're talking and you're rewarding that. In 24 hours, you've gone full circle into what we suggest craft helps you with, which is identifying it, following out the use period, waiting, staying kind of neutral and withdrawn, hoping for them to bring it up rather than you, And if they do, rewarding it and remembering what they like so much that it's really rewarding to them, which is the blueberry pancakes. It's that practical. It's that mundane. It's these little incremental steps that will really, really change the dynamics between you. And usually these dynamics have been set in place for years. You've been doing this, some version of this for years, right? So when you make these changes, it really freaks out your loved one. It's, oh my gosh, what is happening now? She didn't do anything. Where is she? And you've got the other person thinking about it. So that's the change in that dynamic that we're looking for, which is so possible.
Yeah. And I just want to say one thing, because you're making me think about this. You are the biggest reward, both positive and negative. And that's what you're describing, is you're moving forward is a positive reward, and you're backing up is the negative reward. I also want to say that I think that many, many of our people believe that confrontation and yelling and accusing and being upset and being angry, that's how you use your negative reward self. That is off the table for us, because that does not allow you to be neutral. It actually makes you part of the problem.
You know what? This is a really good piece, I think, to talk about, because a lot of people don't understand that when you are engaging in a negative way, right? When you are arguing and crying and blaming and why are you doing this to me? And you think you're making, don't you see how horrible this is? And you think you're making a point. But actually what you're doing is you're reinforcing negative behavior. That is a reward. No matter how bad and difficult and horrible it feels, it still is reinforcing negative behavior. And I try and explain it like this. It's the same thing as when you have a toddler and the toddler throws a temper tantrum. What does the pediatrician tell you to do? The pediatrician says, make sure they're in a safe space. So if they fall down or they throw themselves on the ground, it's not cement and they're going to be safe. But after that, remove yourself. Do not get involved in the temper tantrum. Because if you do, if you go in and go, oh no, you stop crying. What happened? You're actually reinforcing that behavior. They know that the next time that they're disrupted, you know, they're emotionally disrupted and bothered, all they have to do is throw a temper tantrum to get you to come in to try and take care of the situation. So the pediatrician tells you to disengage. This is detachment in the moment. Detach from the toddler in the moment, step away. When they recover and they're not throwing their temper tantrum, then you step back in and you start rewarding behavior and reinforcing, oh, see, now you're calm. So let's talk about what happened. That's reinforcing. That's when you now come back and you're engaging. And it's the same thing. We're talking about the exact same thing here. If someone is engaging in very difficult behavior and you're getting in there and you're engaging with it, you're reinforcing negative behavior. We don't want you to do that. We don't want you to punish them. We want you to detach in the moment, because you're going to come back later on, but you're going to move away from that behavior. Let them kind of sit with it. They're the ones who have to learn to soothe themselves. And then you're going to come back later.
When you step into the mess of it, like you've always done, it's just mom being normal or me being normal and your behavior being normal. And we're both going to be normally upset and have conflict, but it's all known to me, to the loved one or to the toddler, right? So that's why it reinforces the negative behavior, because you're stepping in and they get to be upset. Everybody's upset. It's comfortable. And what's not comfortable is being left alone with it. And that is really different to somebody.
Can I just add one more piece? I think that's really, really important, is to understand that when we're doing these things, when we're stepping away and not engaging, oftentimes when family members start practicing these skills that we're talking about, they feel like, oh, it didn't work. Oh, but I tried to get away from my loved one, but they followed me around and they hounded me and they, yes, that means it's actually working. And we could bring it back to the toddler temper tantrum and use that as an example. I don't know if any of you have ever had a toddler that throws a temper tantrum, and then when you walk away and you don't stay in the room, they get up and they move and they follow you and they fall on the ground where you are in this new space because they're trying very hard to get your attention because they don't want to deal with it. They want you to come in and fix it. So you're going to try out these skills, and this is what we're talking about today. You're going to try out these skills. We want you to. We want you to know that they're probably not going to go smooth, but that it's about adjusting, and it's about being forewarned ahead of time. Yep, they're probably going to follow you around. It's happened to me when I've started implementing a new skill, and I'm like, just leave me alone, right? But I've had to stick to my guns, and eventually it gets better. Kayla, you were going to say something? Yep.
I want you to think about, how am I part of this problem? Because it's a terrible way to start, but I think it's a really informative way to move forward. And the reason that we're talking about stepping away is it's very hard to be accused of any terrible thing when you're not saying anything. But once you start to talk, all bets are off. I don't know about you, but once I start talking, I go a little bit further than I want to. And then you cannot say to the other person, well, you get into the, you said this, but you said this, but you said this. But if I don't say anything, I am not accused of anything. So that has been my new attempt to try to step out of the fray, because if I'm not fighting with you, it's on you. You get to see your own behavior incense around, as opposed to deflect it off of me and that I did this and that's why you're doing that. So that's the first thing you want to do, is look at stepping away so that that person is left to their own behavior and they have to sit with that. And you are a powerful force of reinforcement, because people want connection. And when you turn away, when you walk away, what you're creating is this sense of disconnection, which is dysregulating to the other person. And that's what you want. Okay, because then they're left being uncomfortable. They're left not knowing what's going on. Why are you being so different? That creates a conversation, not just bad behavior. That's the goal here. I guess it's time to summarize. And the summary is that what we're asking you with Allies in Recovery and the CRAFT program is to change. Okay, we want you to change. I know you're in this because you want your loved one to change, but we want you to change. And we have this whole structure to work within for you to look at your behavior, to look at what works and what doesn't work, to look at how do you take care of yourself in this crazy situation? How do you look at what you can do, which is not necessarily about what you're going to tell the other person to do or what you're going to push them to do. It's about, what are you going to do for yourself to change the dynamic? What tools can you use? And so every time you don't know what you want to do or need to do, you get to go on the site, learn the modules, educate yourself, try this new way of being, let yourself make mistakes, don't judge it, try again, notice what went well and what didn't go well. So you're now engaging in a process of change, which never, ever, ever is fast. And so you're going to be patient, you're going to allow yourself to experiment, you're going to see what works for your loved one, you're going to tailor it to your situation, because every single situation is different. And most important is get support, which is what we provide on the site. We provide support in many, many, many different ways, but support without you trying things does not work. You're not going to get magical answers. There's no magic bullet here. There's you working on change over time, and that's what's going to work. There's no one answer. If there's an answer, it's not going to work. Trust me. It's about shift.
Great. Also, I want to remind our listeners that we have a 10-day challenge where you can complete half of the video modules in a 10-day period of time, and you get a free immersive CRAFT training, a one-day training worth $250, but you get it for free. So hope to see you on the Allies in Recovery website.
Thanks for listening. We hope this episode of Coming Up for Air spoke to you. If you're listening in today on a podcast platform that isn't the Allies member site, please take a moment to give us a 5-star rating. This helps others find the show more easily. If you have a suggestion for a new topic or a guest for the show, please reach out through the Contact Us form on alliesinrecovery.net. Special thanks to our hosts, our guests, and our production team.